heart, seeking after your own. Father, will you just use Pastor Jerry and speak the word? Would you soften our hearts that we're able to have ears to hear? Father, bring the word into our hearts that we may live it out during the week. Thank you, and we glorify you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, I remember going on vacations with my family, and we'd be traveling down the road in the little Datsun 510. And that thing went a couple of 100,000 miles by the end of the, not by the end of that trip, but by the end of the car. But I remember us feeling really good because we had an 8-track player in there. And we were on the cutting edge of technology. We had us an 8-track. It was, you know, it wasn't just a radio anymore. I mean, we were out there. We were out there, and we'd sing to that, you know. My dad liked Glenn Campbell, and we'd sing. We had one of his gospel albums on 8-track. And, you know, 8-tracks, they never stop. They just keep looping round and round. And I remember being in high school, early years of high school, and this one teacher said, he was, I think, an electronics teacher. He said, 8-track will be out and cassette will be in. And I said, well, what's a cassette? And now I have all of these young people. I said, you know, you ought to get the tape. I don't have a tape player. You don't have a tape player. All I got to see. In fact, I've had some of these college age people say, that'd be embarrassing to have a cassette player in my car. Gee. Like, things are changing so fast. So, actually, we're going to start DVDs soon. We want to be way out there, so try not to get in any accidents, but we're going to get a camera in here, and here we go. Well, I have to make one announcement before we get into the Word tonight. And my wife couldn't be here tonight, but she said, you make sure that you talk about this, because Sunday is the deadline for the women's retreat. Now, some of you in here may be thinking, man, I just don't have the money. Well, let's believe God that between now and Sunday that something unexpected will happen. Something will change. Because I tell you what, from all that I'm hearing about this women's retreat, God is going to do something there, and it's worth an investment to get there. And by the way, there may be somebody in here that says, I'd sure like to pay for some lady to be able to go that couldn't do it. You can do that. Go ahead and do that. There have been people that we already know about that aren't able to go. And if you're not able to go for that, you can go check with them and say, is there anybody that pays for somebody that can't go, or half or something? You know, and hey, we want to work all that we can out to get everybody there, as many as possible. So do all that you can and pray and believe God. But don't just say, I can't. I don't have the money. At least throw a prayer up there by chance, right? Use the shotgun approach. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, somebody up there, help me. Angel, Mother Mary, somebody. I need some. No, not Mother. Okay. Well, I'd rather ask Mary than just to say I can't. Somebody, help me. Is anybody listening up there? But do what you can. But I tell you what, I really believe in this. I really believe in the women's ministries, and I believe that it's so important that ladies take away from all the busy things that they do, and they get away and they hang out with other women of God, and they let God speak to them. Because I'm telling you, there's a move that is happening and going to happen in the earth, and God's going to use ladies in a way that we haven't seen God. Ladies are like, women of God are like a big sleeping tiger. And I'm telling you, when they awake and begin to let God use them, I'm not talking about women's lib. I'm not talking about trying to, you know, fight for their cause. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying letting God do with them what he wants to do with them. God's got a plan, and God's desperate to get something done in the earth. And he wants to use us, men and women, to accomplish that. So do all that you can, but the deadline to sign up for that is Sunday. Boy, I've been looking forward to this. I can't even tell you. I'm so excited that you're all here. I'm glad. So excited that you're here. And I want us to open up our hearts and our minds. And I want to present this whole series before the Lord, because I believe it's very pertinent and it's very timely. I believe it's a jugular issue on God's heart in these last days. You know, when you go into war, when 9/11 happened and we realized what exactly went on, because none of us knew exactly at first. And as we begin to hear different information, we realized we're at war. And then war was declared. And we begin to talk about it. A seriousness begin to come over all of us. And we begin to realize this is serious. And some people went about their lives like nothing changed. But something changed. Something changed. And somebody had to start taking serious measures. And we're still taking serious measures. More money is being put into the military now. We're sending things overseas. We're adjusting our strategy. We're doing all kinds of strange things, things that none of us hear about. I mean, there are things going on all of a sudden because there's a war going on, and it's a weird war. It's not a conventional war. This is a different kind of war. Well, let me tell you something. These last days, when it comes to the kingdom of God, is a different animal altogether. I mean, we're approaching some things that now we've got a deadline. We've got the coming of the Lord at hand here. Nobody knows exactly when that's going to happen, but what we do know is the time is short, and God is trying to put us on a fast track. So let me tell you, it's not business as usual. This is something different here. And so just like in our military, we've had to prepare. We've had to begin to give a surge of energy toward that direction. We in the kingdom of God need to do the same thing. And we need to say, Lord, show us how to prepare. And the Lord has been speaking to us. Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. Possess the land. And the Lord said, sanctify yourself. Prepare yourself. Get yourself ready. And so what we're going in here into tonight is a part of that preparation for us to see into some things and to posture ourselves in a place where we can receive things from God and be used by God like the prophets of old, like the Lord Jesus himself, and like the apostles in the early church. There's no difference between the apostles and us. Did you know that? They were human beings that had the name of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit within them, and confidence in God's word, and they acted and things happened. We need to be a body of people that do that today. It's not over. It's not over. In fact, they're counting on us to give the knockout punch. Did you know that? I mean, they expect us to get better and better as time goes on. And so let's open our hearts here before the Lord tonight. Close your eyes with me. Let's bow our heads. Let's offer. In fact, you might want to just put your hands out in front of you before the Lord. And everybody say this. Say, Father God, I open my eyes and my ears and my heart to hear your word. Show me things. Teach me things. Help me to see your ways and to understand. And to make the adjustments in my life that are necessary for me to be used by you in the greatest way possible. I want to be a vessel of honor, useful to the Master. I release my traditions. I release those doctrines which are not accurate. Help me to identify them and to rid myself of them so they won't hold me back any longer. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, I thank you that you use me as your vessel, as your delivery boy. I give myself to you, spirit, soul, and body, to be used. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and to guide us into all truth. And we're going to get this in the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I feel more ready now. Well, let's open our Bibles tonight, first of all, to the book of Psalms, the 103rd chapter. Psalms, the 103rd chapter, or Psalm 103. And this whole series is entitled God's Ways. And the subtitle is Reconciling God's Sovereignty with His Promises and His Promises with Our Lives. And tonight's going to be an introduction. We're going to lay some groundwork for where we're going. But I want to give you, in a way, a nutshell of what we're talking about and why it's so important that we see into this whole area called God's Ways. Psalm 103, the title of tonight's message is Hide and Seek. And by the way, I should point out right up front that there are many, many of you that are in here. God has called you in here, not just to listen and to learn, but to prepare to teach these things that we'll be studying. So I want you to take notes. If you have your Solid Life Journal, that'd be a good place to take some notes. And sometime by the end of this series, I'm going to go ahead and give out the notes to everybody, my notes, and everything that all the scriptures that I'm going over, all of the points that I'm dealing with. We're just going to give that out because we feel like this is an important concept, message, and insight that we need to have. And all of the people that will come to the Rock need to hear this too. And so many people will have questions about this. In fact, there are questions flying around the earth that deal with what we're, that are pertaining to these things that we're going to cover. And if you don't understand these things, then you won't be able to give a proper answer and to steer them in a right way. So that's why we've got to go over this. Some of these things that we go over will be very elementary and basic to some of you, but many of the things, I guarantee there's probably not a person in the room. This sounds arrogant, but it's not. There's probably not a person in the room that won't find at least something in these weeks that will be a revolutionary new way of seeing into something, because these are things that the Holy Spirit has been saying and dealing with me about, and I've been seeking Him daily about these things for months now. And some of these things have been coming for years, and it was revolutionary to me to see into God's Word in a way that opened me up to realize that God wants to use me. And this is part of what changed me, and we'll get into that as time goes on. But I want to talk about this first message that I'm entitling Hide and Seek. Kind of a strange title, but you'll see into it as we go on. Psalm 103, I want to begin at verse 1, and it says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Now, who wrote this psalm? David. Wasn't David the guy that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart? Isn't that right? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, you can see why already. "And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Now notice verse 6, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." Now verse 7 is what I wanted to get to. "He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel." He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. Notice that. God made His ways known to Moses, but the children of Israel only saw His acts. And that's the way most Christians are. They only see things that God does, but they don't understand why. The person that understands why can get it to happen again. The person only sees what happens, but if they don't properly interpret that and understand the ways of God, the whys of God, we should say, then they won't be able to translate that into their life so that they can posture themselves in a position for God to do the same thing for them. Well, see, here the children of Israel, they're right there. God wanted to make His ways known to them, but He didn't. I said He didn't. They only saw the acts of God. And let me tell you, there are a whole lot of Christians that are just in that same boat today. They see the acts of God, but they don't understand the ways of God. But I want you to notice, God made His ways known to Moses, but only His acts to the children of Israel. Now you're there in the 103rd Psalm. Flip back over to the 95th Psalm. We're going to go to a lot of scriptures tonight. I cut a whole lot of material out just because I knew I had a lot. And I wanted to get down just to those things that I felt like the Lord really wanted me to touch on. But look over at Psalm 95. And let's look at the 6th verse. Psalm 95, verse 6. It says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work." See, there's the axe. "Though they saw my work, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways." Notice they saw God's work, but God says, these people grieve me. Let me tell you something right now. There are a whole slew of Christians who grieve God. I don't care what their church attendance is like. I don't care what they say out of their mouth, how they dress, how they look. They can look like Christians. You know what I mean? They can have the Christian look. You know what I mean? You ever had somebody say, I could just tell they were a Christian. Why? Just the look. Well, I've seen some people look like that, and I thought they were Christians. Turned out they weren't. They weren't even close. You understand what I'm saying? You can't always tell just by the look. You can't. These people saw the work of God, but God said for 40 years they grieved me. You know what that means? They irritated me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to irritate God. I want to please Him. Don't you? Man, if there's one person in the universe that I want to please, it's Him. I don't just want to know His acts. I want to know His ways. I want to see into this thing. I want to understand. I don't want to be a Christian that's always saying, well, I'll just be reserved. I just want to have a little bit of that Christianity. No, I want to know Him. What Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. See, Moses had that. Moses saw into the ways of God. But all the children of Israel, a couple of million of them, they only saw His acts. And God says, they grieved me. For 40 years they grieved me because they didn't know my ways. Verse 11, notice what it says. So, that's a connecting word, isn't it? It means therefore, or because of this, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We're seeing into the ways of God right now. Let me tell you something. God is not just a warm, fuzzy, nice person. God has feelings. He feels things. A lot of people want to put God more in the computer class and think God just works like this. He's just like a computer. No, let me tell you something. He has feelings. He loves and He hurts. He rejoices and He gets sad. He has feelings. And these people, like many Christians today, they grieved God. And God says, they didn't know my ways, and therefore I swore in my wrath. What does that mean? He's angry. That they'll not enter my rest. What does that mean? The land that I promised them, I swear. Now, God had already sworn that He would give it to them. But now all of a sudden He turns around and He says, now I swear that I won't. Somebody said, no, wait a minute. What's going on here? I'm explaining to you the ways of God. The ways of God. It's not just if you think you're doing okay, then everything's okay. No, it's not according to your perspective, but it's according to God's perspective. He is God, we are not. You see what I mean? Now let me tell you something right now. It's not hard to please the Lord. It's not hard to find out God's ways. In fact, as we go into this, you're going to see that God is desperate to show us His ways. He's not a magician. You know what magicians do? They want you to see a certain part and they hide how they do it. They want you to see the acts, but they don't want you to see their ways. Let me tell you, God's not like a magician. He wants to show us the ways. He wants to say, come on back behind here and watch this. You know why? Because I want you to do the same thing. Isn't that what Jesus said? He who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these. He said, you'll do better tricks than I do. Because I'm going to my Father. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. See how He is? God is not trying to hide Himself from us. And in fact, I titled this Hide and Seek. God hides because He wants us to seek, not because He doesn't want us to find Him. You understand? Now, so here you can see that it is very possible, in fact, probable, if you don't pursue knowing God's ways, you will grieve God. He'll be displeased with you. And all of these promises that He's made to you, He'll turn around and promise you that you won't get them. We can see that already, can't we? So you need to see into this thing, because I hear Christians all the time say, well, you know, the Lord promised it, so we know He's going to do it. Well, that's not necessarily true. If you're just in a position where you're seeing God's acts, but you don't know His ways and you're not aligning yourself to His ways, then you're not in a position to receive those blessings, though He wants you to have them. Can you see that? All right, so God reveals His acts to some, but He reveals His ways to others. And guess what? You get to choose which category you're in. Now, let's turn over to the book of Romans, because before we get too deep into this, I want to hit a scripture that will probably come up in some of your minds as we're talking about God's ways and how God wants us to know His ways. I'm just going to do something that we don't always like to do. I'm just going to pick one verse out of this chapter. But the context is obvious when you go and read it. Romans chapter 11, I want to look at verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 30. Well, we can start with verse 32 because it just gives a little bit of the context. Romans chapter 11, verse 32 says, "For God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all." You can see already that that kind of sounds strange. God has committed them all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. So Paul follows up with this verse, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." His ways past finding out. Now let me tell you, there are a whole lot of Christians that love that verse. Because you know what that means? Oh, we don't have to get into the Word. Yeah. We don't have to really go to church that much because, you know, nobody's ever going to figure it out anyway. His ways are past finding out. But isn't that opposite of what the whole Bible teaches us? Doesn't the whole Bible teach us to seek the Lord, to seek to understand? Solomon wrote to David in the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and he said, "Whatever you do, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding." Isn't that right? "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from..." Well, why? If God's ways are so far above us and they're past finding out, why should we give any attention to it? We're not going to get it. We're not going to understand. See, some people love those verses because they love to just take that and just build the whole doctrine on it. Well, you see, you're never going to know what God's going to do anyway. And in fact, they do that when they throw some prayers up to God. They'll say, you know, whatever God wants, you know, his ways are higher than our ways. And they'll just quote these scriptures flippantly, just assuming that they understand what they mean. Well, there is a truth here. We're studying something called God's ways, this series here. But let me just tell you, I do not have any intention of trying to make any of you believe that when we get done with this series, I will have exhausted God's ways. Fear not. I already know. The longer you're in this, the more you realize there's so much to God that we won't get to. But you need to understand this. We can understand some things about God that can put us into a position to make conscious, accurate decisions in our life, to be in a position to be used by Him and to be blessings on the earth. Did you know that? But we've got to see into it accurately. We've got to see into this accurately. And so here it is true. His ways are past finding out. And it goes on to quote some of the Old Testament, "For who has known the mind of the Lord," from the book of Isaiah, "or who has become his counselor." In other words, who's going to teach God? Nobody. Paul's just saying, let me just make it clear to you guys that God's got things that are going on that we don't quite comprehend and understand yet. His ways are past finding out. But yet, right on the other hand, doesn't Paul also say that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit? Isn't that true? See, well, is Paul contradicting himself? No, but what he's saying is you're not exhausting God. Don't ever get to the place where you nail God down and say, this is all God does. This is exactly how he does everything. I got him figured out. You're not going to get there. You're not going to get there. But let me tell you something. God is desperate for us to find out his ways. He's desperate. Jesus is desperate for us to find out his ways. Jesus left the earth and left us here in charge of the kingdom of God being advanced. Not that we do it all on our own. Of course, it's God doing it through us, and we're partnering with him to do it. But isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit is called our helper and we're not called his helper? Isn't that interesting? If I was writing the Bible, I would say, we'll help you. You're the man. You're the Holy Spirit. You're the Spirit of God. We'll help you with whatever you want. No, Jesus said, no, I'm leaving you. You're the one that's going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You're the one that's going to cast out demons. You're the one that's going to preach the gospel and bring people into the kingdom of God. And I'm sending the Holy Spirit to help you do it. That seems backwards to me, but God has a lot of confidence in human beings that can understand his ways and walk in them. Now, let's flip over now to the book of Isaiah. Because I want to talk for a little bit about how God reveals his ways to us. Isaiah, let's go to chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. God wants us to understand his ways. Isaiah chapter 55, I want to pick it up at verse 6. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8, God begins talking. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now, a lot of people quote verse 8 and stop right there. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And they just stop right there, as if the chapter stops right there. Well, you know, God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. They'll just quote this. First of all, you need to understand this. When God says that, he has no intention of it staying that way. Did you know that? The whole Bible is about us aligning our ways to God's ways. How can you align them to God's ways if you don't know God's ways? Somehow God is going to have to get across to us his ways so that we can align ourselves to them. But we just quote these verses and throw them out there, and because of it, we abstain or we resolve ourselves from any responsibility for what happens in our life because, see, his ways are higher than our ways, and, you know, we just throw some prayers up to God, and if they happen, well, it must have been his will. And if it didn't happen, it must not have been his will. And it's not our fault, because how would we ever know? Because his ways are so much higher than our ways, and, you know, we don't know what to do. So we just throw it up as a prayer to God. He's in charge. He's a sovereign God. See? And we'll get into that. He's a sovereign God. But let me show you here. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord." But then he continues and says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." He goes on to say, "As the rain comes down and the snow comes down and they don't return, that's what my word does." He says, "My word comes down out of my mouth, down from heaven, and it doesn't bounce off of the earth and return void. It stays in the earth and plants seeds that end up being a harvest." What is he saying? He's saying, because you and I have different ways, I'm speaking my word to you, and my word is going to be planted not in the ground, not in the dirt of the earth, in the hearts of human beings. That's what God's word is for. God's word was never meant for soil on the earth. The soil of God's word is always the hearts of humans. And God says, "I'm sending my word to the soil of men's hearts, and it won't return void, but it is going to spring up just like the seed in the ground does, and it's going to reap a harvest." What is the harvest? The harvest is our understanding of God's ways. The harvest is our ability to comprehend how God does things, how God reacts to the ways of men, positive and negative. See, if you know about God and what he reacts to in a positive way, then you can posture yourself for him to do those things. Just like with your parents. Your parents would react to certain things that you did. And every parent is a little bit different. Isn't that true? My kids get away with a lot with my wife that they don't get away with me. And they know better. I'm telling you, they could be right in the middle of something, you know, maybe just a little whining or whatever, and I'll just walk through the front door and everything gets quiet. What's going on? I mean, every parent's a little bit different. Well, they know my ways. And they know I don't like whining. I don't like arguing. I don't like talking back. That's not right, see? And so they may get away with a little bit with their mother. because she's had a rough day and she's trying to get dressed for something or whatever, and she's slacking a little bit, right? They may be getting away, but when Dad walks in, or sometimes it works the other way. Sometimes I'm just, you know, you're tired. You don't feel like it. Mom comes, what's going on in here, right? See, the ways. Well, when you start understanding God's ways, and let me tell you something neat about God. God's ways are right. God is not just a mean person. God is God is love. Isn't that neat? Well, when you understand what causes him to give that love, and you understand what causes him to react in anger, you can make adjustments on your part. But as long as you just, his ways are higher than our ways, and you have no idea what to do, or at least you act like it, then you'll go through your whole life with ups and downs, just like everybody else in the world, as if you don't have a God. Isn't that right? Christians who don't know God's ways are no better off than sinners, because they can't adjust their life to be pleasing to the Lord and to allow God to use them. See? And I tell you what, Jesus said this. He said, in the last day, at the end of the age, he said, there are going to be a whole lot of people that say, Lord, didn't we do these things? Didn't we do this and that and the other? And Jesus is going to say, and I'm going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Let me tell you what that is. They knew the acts of God, but they didn't know the ways of God. And Jesus said, I never knew you. But let me just tell you again, this is not hard. This just takes a heart to want to know God. That's all it takes. A heart to want. You want to know God? God wants to be known by you a whole lot worse than you want to know him. See? But notice again here, God says, our thoughts are not the same and our ways are not the same. But just like the rain comes down, the snow comes down to the earth, and the seed springs up and bears harvest, my word, I'm sending it down to the hearts of human beings. And it's going to spring up. It's not going to return to me void, but it's going to spring up, and my words will teach you my ways. In fact, let me show you another scripture. Look over at the second chapter of Isaiah, all the way back to chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And I want to begin reading with the first verse. It says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us what? His ways. And we shall walk in his paths. Notice, if he can teach us his ways, we can walk in his paths. See that? You cannot walk in the paths of God haphazardly. You cannot assume that because you said, Lord, lead me, direct my paths, but you don't understand the ways of God, and you just think, because you flipped out that little prayer, Lord, you just make sure that I make all the right decisions. Lord, just let whatever happens today be your will. Let me tell you, that's not the way it works. You wish you could just flip a little prayer out like that and put all the responsibility for your life on God. But let me tell you something, God does not take it. That's not God's ways. No, God wants you to understand his ways so that you can make the adjustments to walk in his path. So notice again, verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Notice again, he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. How will you learn God's ways? From his word. He teaches you his word. You want to know why it's important to go to church? Because church is one place, if you go to the right church, where we open up God's word and somebody teaches you from the word. Every time somebody teaches you from the word accurately, you've learned more of God's ways. See? And that's what God's saying here. God's saying that he'll teach us his ways and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Look at verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Well, you can tell this is talking about the millennium. When Jesus is reigning as the king over the whole earth, that's the season that it's talking about. But how many of you know that God has never instructed us to hang on until the millennium before we understand the ways of the Lord? In fact, this passage is not even talking about us. It's talking, notice again there, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It's not talking to us. We, the body of Christ, born again into the kingdom of God now, are supposed to be walking in this now. They're going to catch up with us now, right? The Jews were ahead of us, but once Jesus came and they didn't accept him, and we did accept him, we came ahead of them. Now we're in the kingdom of God. They're lagging behind, and they better get in. Isn't that right? But God's prophesying, he's saying, at the end of the time, they're going to get in. And they're going to come and they're going to learn. Well, that's what we're doing now. We're taking the word of the Lord and we're understanding the ways of God now, walking in his path. But notice how the ways are understood. They are understood by the word of God. Now, let me show you another scripture. Look over at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, that's one of the most powerful psalms. If I had time, we'd read it all, but that would take a lot of time because it's the biggest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, and I want to look at the 14th verse. Psalm 119, verse 14. Now stick with me here. I'm going somewhere with this. We're covering a lot of ground. We're just walking through step by step, but I'm going somewhere with this. Psalm 119, verse 14. The writer says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. See what he says? Lord, I've rejoiced in your testimonies, your word, as much as all money. You know what that means? That means I'll spend as much time in your word as I spend trying to get any money. I'm as excited about your word as I ever was about money. Oh, that American Christians were there. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Notice God's ways and his precepts, his testimonies, his word, his commandments are all the same. You want to know God's ways? Study his precepts. You want to know his precepts? Study his word. Study the commandments. The writer of Psalm 119 uses all of these interchangeably. The precepts of God, the commandments of God, the ways of God, the word of God, the testimonies of God. He uses all those, the law. All of those he uses interchangeably throughout the whole chapter, saying these are all the words that come from God. But notice here he uses interchangeably the precepts and God's ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. Have you ever forgotten the word? Have you ever gone days, weeks without being in the word of God? Have you ever done that? The writer here, I believe this was David. It doesn't say that it was David, but I believe David wrote the 119th Psalm. He said, I will not forget your word. That's a choice, isn't it? He didn't say, hey, you know, I never forget it. No, he said, I will not. That's a decision. I will not forget your word. Now, how many of you remember that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said, a good tree bears good fruit and an evil tree bears evil fruit, or a bad tree bears bad fruit. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And then he says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, wasn't David a man after God's own heart? Isn't that what the Bible says in several places? Have you ever wondered how David became a man after God's own heart? Have you ever wondered that? Well, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just want to know your heart, Lord? And they just want to pray and say, Lord, show me your heart. And there's their Bible sitting right there. These are his words. There's their Bible sitting right there. Lord, show me your heart. I just want to know your heart. Lord, show me your heart. But they don't have time for his word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All of these words have come from the inside of God. This is his heart right here. This is God's heart. You really want to know God's heart? Have you ever received a love letter? I mean a good one. Now, how many of you know that if you receive a love letter and you know that person, you read all kinds of things into those. I mean, you're reading between the lines because you know that person. Well, you know, if somebody walked up that didn't know that person and took it, they could read that same love letter and not understand it. Isn't that true? And they'd say, Punky? What's Punky? Isn't that right? Pookie? What's Pookie? Oh, that, you know, that's just a little, that, nothing. It's just, it nothing. No, explain it. No, I'm not going to explain it. This is a love letter from God to us. If you want to know God's ways, you have to spend time getting things out of his word. You have to. You can't say to God, Lord, I want to know your ways, and not spend time in his word. You cannot. If you don't have time for the word of God, you don't have time for the heart of God. Because out of the abundance of God's heart, his mouth spoke words. You want to know how David was a man after God's own heart? He was a man after God's own word. Did you know that? That's how he became a man after God's own heart. If you want to understand God's ways, it's going to come from his word. This is what we know to be true from God. And a lot of people will see the acts of God, things that God does and didn't do. Have you ever prayed for somebody and nothing happened? You prayed. I've done that before. I prayed for somebody on their deathbed and they did me dirty and died. They were supposed to be a testimony. They were supposed to come up and give testimony to how the man of God, faith and power, went and laid hands on them and they got raised up from the deathbed. And they went and did me dirty and died. That's not right, is it? They did me wrong, didn't they? That ever happened to you? And some people, many, many Christians, will look at the act of what God did or didn't do and judge what happened. But they don't understand the ways of God. And that's dangerous ground to be on. Did you know that? That's dangerous ground to be on. So God teaches us through his word. Now I want to show you something about this. In fact, I know we've got some Bible college students in here and some of you have taken some courses in some places. I want to tell you something about this word. This is not just a regular book. It's not a regular book like a history book or a textbook. It's not a regular book like a novel or some even a Christian book where somebody wrote out of their heart about things that God had shown them or something. This is a spiritual book. In fact, Jesus said, my words are spirit. Not spiritual. They are spirit and they are life. Doesn't the Bible say the word of God is living? Well, what other book is living? None. But the word of God is alive. You may not see the words crawling on the paper, or you may. You smoke something funny. You may see the words moving. You may not see these words moving, but let me tell you something. These words are something different. They're special. These words came out of the heart of God. They have the breath of God, the anointing of God. See? Now, I want to show you a couple of things about these. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. This is all pertaining to understanding the ways of God. And now I want to get into some things. A lot of that's been just review for many of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's pick it up at verse 7. Paul writing here, 1 Corinthians 2:7, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age... somehow they thought that they'd be better off crucifying him, killing him. And they were much worse off. Isn't that right? Because first there was one Son of God, and by killing him, he ended up getting raised from the dead. Now there are a whole lot of sons of God running around the earth. Isn't that right? He created a big problem. You know why? Because he didn't understand the ways of God. And this says, had the rulers of this earth known, or this age known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. People like those verses. Well, you know, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that the good Lord has prepared for those who love him. Yeah, but you need to keep reading. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, you've received Jesus into your heart. Let me tell you something. You are a candidate to be taught directly by the Holy Spirit himself all the ways of God. Did you know that? You won't get it all, but you are a candidate to be taught all of it. There's nothing that God holds back. So it says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now notice this. For the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now I want you to notice verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. Discern means to see into. What he's saying here is, Paul's saying, the words that we're speaking are mystery words. They're words that have been hidden in God. They're words that describe the ways of God. They're deep things. But he said the Holy Spirit knows the deep things about God, just like your spirit knows the deep things about you. He said the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God and is showing us these things. He says, but the natural man, the Greek word psukikos, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them. Now let me just point something out to you. When you received Jesus as Lord and you became a Christian, you did not rid yourself of your natural man. Did you know that? You carry your natural, logical, pros and cons way of thinking man around with you all the time. That's why there's a struggle inside of you. God will tell you to do something, and your mind will say, I can't do that. No, they'll laugh at me if I do that. I can't afford that. No, I'll look dumb if I do that. Or, oh, I mean, if I did that, I mean, I may never be able to have anything in life. Right? You see what I'm saying? You've got a part of you here that thinks logically, reasonably, thinks on pros and cons, thinks on experience that you have. And if you've done something before and you got smacked for it, you fell on your face over that, then the next time you go to do that, God himself may have said, I want you to do this, and it's going to work. And your mind will say, don't you do it. Last time I did that, I fell right on my face. Isn't that right? The guys are out there in the boat fishing all night long. And they come in, they get all the nets washed up. They're tired. They were out all night long. Morning has come. They washed all the nets. It's time to go to sleep. Or at least Miller time. You know what I mean? Huh? Them fishermen out there, I mean, they're wanting to go out. Now don't misunderstand me here. Pastor Jerry doesn't have any Miller time. Or Bud or anything else. But you understand, these rough fishermen, I mean, they're off work. They want to go home. They want the remote control in their hand to kick their feet up. They're tired. And Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch. Oh, man, we've been out there all night slinging them nasty nets out there. You understand? See the natural man? Your natural man has a tough time receiving God's ways. Your mind has a tough time receiving something that God says that goes against logic. And notice it says here, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And it goes on to say, nor can he, doesn't have the ability to, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So let me tell you something, in learning God's ways through God's Word, you understand and you can comprehend God's ways in your spirit. It does not come through your mind. Your mind catches it later. Do you understand? Because your mind automatically rejects it. It kicks it back because God's ways are higher than your ways. Isn't that what we just read? But He sends His Word and it begins to grow up inside of us so that we can understand God's ways and begin to adapt ourselves. But if His ways are different than your ways, then your head's going to go tilt when you hear His ways. See, let me tell you something about God's ways. God doesn't just want to share His ways with us so that we say, oh, that's the way you do it? Oh, okay, well, now I know. Well, and just so you know, God, here's the way I do it. Now we can work together because that's how you do it and this is how I do it. Now we know how to relate, right? No, that's not the way it works. God says, no, this is the way you will now do it. Oh, I don't want to do it like that, God. And you got all the reasons why. Because God's ways are all faith. God's ways you can't add. It's not always 2 plus 2 is 4. God says 2 plus 2 is 88 million. Oh, I don't. God, you can't get 88 million out of 2 plus 2. And God says, I can. My twos are blessed. You understand? The loaves and the fishes is a perfect example. 5 loaves and 2 fish. The little boy had the lunch. And their mind said, you cannot get 5,000 plus all-you-can-eat meals. Isn't that what the Bible said? They ate all they could eat. And were filled. You can't get 5,000 plus all-you-can-eat meals out of little 5 loaves and 2 fish. Your mind goes tilt. See, that's what it's talking about. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually seen into. Only your spirit can catch these spirit words and spirit insights, and your mind will have to catch up and be renewed later. But you're going to have to catch these things in the spirit. Now, I've been raised in church. When I was a kid, I went to church. And when you're a kid, you hear everything in the natural. Everything they tell you to do, it's natural. And like I told you Sunday, when we'd sing the songs and the pastor would stand up there and he'd say, you know, he's got a big smile on his face. And I used to think he's lying like a big dog. He's got a big smile. He goes, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll worship for 10,000 years. It would just be getting started. And I'm thinking as a kid, oh, church is long enough already. You understand? I'm thinking in the natural. I'm receiving that information from my experience, my point of view, my understanding of what fun is. That's what happens every single time God's Word and God's ways come to you. Your mind rejects it because the natural man does not receive it. Let me tell you this. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what your education is in spiritual things, in the Word of God. I don't care how smart you are. If you're a linguist, I don't care if you can read, write, quote the Greek and Hebrew text of the Bible. You still have a natural mind. And that natural mind has a very difficult time receiving these things that go above man's ways. And so that's why many, many times when you open up a commentary by somebody who is a theologian, somebody who has all the education, they've got letters behind their name, and they write, well, here's what this is saying. They will take what God said and pull it right back down into a natural level of thinking so that it's palatable to you, it's easy for you to work on, and you never have to step out and ever take a chance of looking dumb. But I tell you what, that's not God's ways. God's ways are more like this. Jesus is walking out there on the water. And Dave just pointed something out to me The other day, I had never seen. He said, "Did you ever notice how far he had walked on the water?" No, I didn't notice that. And he flipped over there and showed me. By the time he got out to the boat, he'd already walked 3 or 4 miles. And Dave said, "You know, for most Christians, the water's faith, but just walking 3 or 4 miles would be faith for a lot of Christians." But he's walking out there on the water, and the Bible said he was going to pass the boat right by. He wasn't even going to stop and say hello. They're over there struggling along, and they said, "It's a ghost." He said, "No, it's just me." And so Peter pipes up and says, "Lord, well, if it's you, then tell me to come out on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Just left the natural man right there. Do you understand? Well, Peter's thinking, "Well, I've already said it now." And so look at this. He stepped out and he started walking on the water. The Bible says he walked on the water. He walked on the water. But then what happened? He saw the wind, that it was boisterous. And all of a sudden, being a fisherman, you know, when it's really windy, that's boat problems. When it's really windy, the waves kick up, the waves start filling the boat, and when boat gets full, boat sinks. Isn't that right? And you remember they went through an experience like that. Jesus was asleep that other time, and the boat was filling with water. It was sinking. It's going down. They woke him up and said, "We're dying." Isn't that true? Well, Peter's, he's a fisherman. He knows how boats work. Now he's not even in a boat, though. But see, he's never even been in this position before, so he's still thinking boat. You understand? He's walking on the water, but his natural mind cannot compute how this works. So when the wind kicks up, his faith goes down, and he starts relying on the natural man, and he starts sinking. Isn't that right? And Jesus reaches down and picks him up. And I mean, he wasn't, you know, the Bible says he was beginning to sink. I mean, he wasn't up to his neck. I mean, that's kind of weird because, you know, when you get out of a boat, you don't begin to sink. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're down. But it's not something how his faith was holding him up to some extent, but it was lowering. You know, you could just see the faith being drained out of him, but it didn't drain instantly. It was being drained as he switched over from that spirit that said, "If it's you, let me come." "Well, come on." So he came out there, and all of a sudden, he gets to looking around. You know, this is not a good idea out here. You understand what I'm saying? See? Now, I was listening to a man, a very educated man, teaching. And he just brought up that whole circumstance, that whole story about Peter getting out of the boat and how he started sinking. And then he said this. He said, "Now, do you want me to tell you why he started sinking?" And I thought, I'm ready for this. Enlighten me. I want to hear this. And he said, "Because we should never try to do things that only God should do." I felt bad for Jesus. Because Jesus never heard him teach that message. Jesus, the one, told him to come. Poor Jesus thought that he could do it. And then after he began to sink and Jesus saved him, Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" You have little faith? Why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus wanted him to conquer that. You see what I'm talking about? But see, this is where the natural man, the natural mind, the natural part of you, psukikos, the psukikos part of you rejects the ability to do God-level things. And that's what it's saying here. The natural man does not receive the things. And it's not just talking about sinners. It's talking about the natural part of human beings because their ways are different than God's ways. They've got this pros and cons, logical way, experiential way of approaching things and viewing things. I've never done this before. I've never been able to. I've been in the water many times. Every time I step out of the boat, I go down. Why would it be different this time? Because I'm stepping out on a word from God in faith, and all of a sudden I step out, and water which cannot hold me does. Do you see what I'm talking about? Now, this is pointing out, Paul is saying here, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, and he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritually seen into. You're going to have to get them in your spirit. You're going to have to get them revealed to you. I've been raised in church. I was out from a little kid hearing all the messages, mostly with my natural man, I'm sure. But when I was about 17 years old, I became desperate for God. And I said, God, I want to know you. And I began to seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. Go after Him. Stick with it. Day after day, taking in and learning. And I began to listen to tapes in the car. And all of a sudden, His Word became my life. Everything. I didn't really want to go out and do a whole lot of things outside. It wasn't that I was saying, I'm not going to have a social life. I'm not going to be listening to the radio. I wasn't fasting anything else. I mean, I just had this heart to seek God. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to understand Him. And over the process of time, my spirit saw into this book as if I found the code book that when you laid it on top, it all became English to me. I see it. I see it. But I tell you where I got it in here, in my spirit. I saw into this thing, and I saw that God wanted me to understand Him. God wanted me to work for Him. God wanted me to operate by His power. When I saw into these things, like laying hands on the sick and they will recover. How many Christians, educated men and women of God, teachers of the Word of God, will get up and when they get to that verse, they just pass it right on by? Or if they do comment out, they'll say, well, you know, we just lay our hands and if it's God's will, He'll do it. If not, but you know what? That's not what it said. It said, in my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why is it that we cannot say what He said? I'll tell you why. Because the natural man all of a sudden says, but that guy that I prayed for died. But what about this lady? What about that person? What about this situation? And all of a sudden we are interpreting God's acts instead of taking His Word and allowing God to show us His ways. And because of that, we reduce ourselves right back down to the natural level. Get back in the boat. Get back in the boat. And most Christians live their life in the boat. And they look out there, and they look into the Word, and they see out there, yes, look at that. God can walk on water. Isn't God great? He can walk on water. Isn't God great? He can heal people. Isn't God great? He can do all that stuff. Isn't God awesome? When the whole time Jesus is saying, yes, but I want you to do it. Oh, no. No, 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 no. If the Lord wanted me to do it, He would do it through me. Oh, really? I mean, did Jesus walk over in the boat and start dragging the disciples? Like, get out of here. Come on, get out of here. Get out here and throwing them out there and they go skidding across, you know. Let me see how many times I can skip John. No, they had to catch it in here and somehow bypassed, flipped the switch off of logic and reason and say, God wants to do this in me. It's a God thing. And He wants to use me. See, it's the same way in forgiveness of sins. Your mind will say, yeah, but you did some bad things. And when you catch this insight, this revelation, illumination of God's ways and His Word in your heart, you realize that the awesome love of God wipes your sin so far away, the next time you come to confess it, He doesn't even know what you're talking about. And you can't catch it in your mind because you feel so guilty. But in the spirit, you can catch it and say, I don't have to ever feel guilty again. See, these are God's ways. These are God's ways. See? Boy, let my time slip away tonight. Are you seeing into this? Now, I could try to rush it, but I don't feel like we ought to rush it. We'll pick it up here next week. But let me tell you something. Make a decision to spend time to know God's ways through His Word. Make it. You know why we put those journals out? I tell you why. Because your pastor believes in the Word of God changing your life. That's why I do my journal. I've got every check since we started done. Somebody says, you never miss it. No, I missed. I missed some days. I go back and I catch them all up. Now, some of you, you can't catch them up, and so you just quit. Don't do that. Just start today. Start tomorrow. Just start back up wherever you left off. Yeah, but I missed it. I won't understand it. Don't go according to it by the natural man. These words are alive. You could read the last chapter of every book in the Bible and never understand the earlier chapters, and God will speak to you out of that last chapter of every book. Did you know that? There's something about these words that are so powerful. Why is it important to come to church? Why is it important to be in this study? You need to make a decision. I'm going to be in this God's way study, and I'm going to understand. I'm going to get this. I've got to get this. Because otherwise, you'll just live a natural level Christian life. You'll always be in the boat and wonder, I wonder what would have happened if I could have been like these guys that stepped out like the apostles did. And like not just the apostles, but other people that we read about in history. Even people that are in this age. They're stepping out there and God is moving through their life. Is it because God just liked them more? Or is it because they've tapped into the ways of God and realized that they can get out of the boat, out of the normal Christian life, and live what God intended to be the normal Christian life? You see that? Let's all stand together. Thank you, Father. Just close your eyes and let's thank God for His Word. Thank Him. Go ahead. Let's thank Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your ways. We thank You for helping us to see into this, to understand. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds to see Your ways, O God. Help us to catch it in the Spirit. In Jesus' name.